The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, the housing crisis is no longer isolated to densely populated urban areas. In towns like Kenmare, where we are this morning, Airbnbs and issues with wastewater treatment have put a strain on the local housing market. We're joined by local auctioneer, former Kerry Mayor, Councillor Patrick O'Connor Scartine, and musician and founder of Tauchi na Tuaithe, Brandon O'Biaglich, is also with us. He won a famous housing battle himself on his own patch. Good morning and welcome to you both. And,
thank you, Pat.
You can probably hear the cars passing by this Lansdowne Kenmare Hotel because it is a slightly damp morning. So there's the swish of tyres on tarmac, but we're going to see a brightening up of the day, I think, later on. Let's talk to you, first of all, Councillor, about the situation in Kenmare. It's hard to imagine there could be a housing shortage here. Explain.
Yeah, I suppose, look, just at the outset, can I just wish John and Francis all the best here at the Lansdowne Hotel. They've done a fantastic job here, and indeed the former owners, the Quills, I want to wish them the best as well. They're both families are great employers, and they've done wonders for tourism in the area. So just at the outset, really, in terms of housing supply, and, there's people trying to move back to the area who had gone to Dublin. Our population has increased. It's always attracted a lot of people. There's a lot of Dutch, Germans, French, English in the area. Our population has, I'd say, doubled in the last 20 years.
But I know from being here at different times of the year, there are many holiday rentals which are vacant for much of the year. What happens to those? I mean, do they just remain vacant and, maintained probably if there's a storm or whatever, but just vacant for many, many months of the year? Do they have a role to play in the winter, or would you have the difficulty? You got to get them out for July.
Yeah, I suppose, look, you're correct. I mean, there's quite a few that lie vacant, and people, you know, from Dublin, from Cork, Limerick might have bought holiday homes here and they might use them during the summer. Airbnb now seems to be the big thing at the moment. I think it's 200 and something there on Airbnb.
Is there a problem renting? If someone wanted an all-year-round rental in Kenmare, is there a problem?
There is. There's nothing to rent here now.
Nothing to rent?
Nothing to rent in the medium to long term. There's people there, they would have been getting maybe 800 per month for a two-bedroom, 900 to 1,100 for a three-bedroom. And, I suppose people with Airbnb can make that in a week, You couldn't blame them. And, of course, there's regulation there, over-regulation. And I think there needs to be incentives for landlords to put their properties out there, long-term and medium-term.
What about the building of more housing? And I suspect that people want houses in this part of the world rather than apartments, principally. There is a hold-up on the development of more housing, is there not?
That's correct. There might have been a lot of housing built there in the 90s, early 2000s, but there's a fierce demand at the moment. There's very, very few houses. If you look on the two of the property websites on daf.ie and myhome.ie, there's only 16 in Kenmare Town on daf.ie. There's 38 on myhome, and that's the whole area, I should say. But there's a fierce demand, and, of course...
Tell me about the wastewater and how that is inhibiting the construction of more housing.
That's the main issue. That is definitely the main issue.
I mean, you had a relatively, in historic terms, new plant, did you not?
We did. I suppose it was upgraded in the mid-90s. There was smaller upgrades since then. We need a major overhaul of it. And, I think it's to cost in the region of 12 million for an upgrade.
Is it spoken for? Is that 12 million now attributed by Irish Water to
It's on the Irish Water's capital plan, and they...
And the timing?
The consultants now, it's gone out to tender, and it's 2024. But look, we're trying to push them to do it sooner, because
and has the council,
we can't do a bit until that happens.
Has the council been giving planning permissions, which, again, can never go forward until the sewage and water systems are there?
Yes.
So are there planning permissions kind of ready.
There are.
Shovel ready.
There are, yeah. Like, you can't get any multi-unit development at all until that's sorted out. And, yeah, they are shovel ready. And that will, I suppose, that'll take the pressure off somewhat.
Have you guys stopped giving permissions for one-off housing out in the countryside, even where there might be an existing derelict plot?
No, I mean, if I suppose what was put in the last county development plan, and we're trying to, with our new county development plan is coming out shortly, but I suppose there was a clause put in there to try to look after people in a rural area, and I know Brendan had difficulties himself.
He had endless difficulties, which he explained to us on the programme several times.
Yes, so, like, I suppose the rural settlement clause, you know, to live and work in the area, demonstrate a need, it has to be your permanent residence and you cannot sell it for 7 years. But people are getting planning out the country, and I suppose there's over 70% of plannings are granted. But I do know people who don't get it, and they're in an awful way. So
okay, Brendan, you won your battle, but it was one hell of a battle. At one point, you had a mobile on a trailer, even that you could move around the place. But you had land. It was on location where existing housing had been there, famine villages almost. You got there in the end.
Well, the difficulty that I had, Pat, just shows the total disconnect between the planners, Kerry County Council, and the local people on the ground. I have nothing to do with tourists coming in here. I have no problem with them coming in here. But I do have a problem with somebody trying to dispossess me of my village. I have four children. They're fluent Irish speakers. And they're accomplished musicians. And the laws as they stand forbid them to live in the village where I was born and raised in. My parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents. We're working at the moment on doing a documentary on this, and we've just been up in Donegal, Spittle, Rhino Gwanach, and in
Now, this is your White Cross campaign. Tell me about that White Cross campaign. What's it doing? What's it meant to signify?
Well, it started off with, in 1841, there were 234 people in my village. Now there's hardly 12 or 14. So I made 234 crosses, planted them in the field, and I put 14 red ones in the middle.
And the living people, in other words.
Of the living people. So, I mean, the famine, 1848, there was 122 thrown off the land and they died on the side of the road. So these laws by Kerry County Council are going to finish the job. There'd be nobody there if these laws aren't changed.
And are you kicking against the goad, though, Brendan, in the sense that there is a flight, not just in Ireland, but in other European countries, from the countryside to the cities? It's where resources are, it's where services are, it's where arts and entertainment and culture are. Young people decide that's where they want to be.
That's the common experience,
say, for Greece, for France, for other countries, Portugal, Spain. They're all suffering this business of people leaving the land, often because intensification means it doesn't need as many people to do the same job.
We're not leaving the land, we're being forced off the land. I think the people that planned these, in their naivety, I think forgot about us here, the tradition that we're about to lose. Conhuilihin, this is not just a Gaelta thing, it's a rural Ireland, and as you said, European and international. But Conhuilihin, he described Hiberno English. He says, I have great respect for the English language, even though I don't speak it myself. I speak Hiberno English, English woven on a Gaelic loom. Our local accents, our county accents, are at danger, in danger here. Where will the likes of John O'Donoghue and John Moriarty go if they want to tap into the rich wisdom that's still in Hiberno English Ireland? So,
yeah. we all use it. Any of us who say I'm after doing that, that's straight from Irish. Tommy Thresh,
English woven on Gaelic loom. So we have made these crosses, and we went around to four Gaeltacht areas, and this disconnect is obvious. Even in Ballyvoura, talking to Padraig O'Riordan, they spent 5 years developing a plan for the area, which Cork County Council funded, and in their new plan, totally ignored it. So our next move, we've gone to Kerry County Council with the crosses. Our next move is Dáil Éireann. and after that, Brussels. Because, I mean,
but
if
how
you want
do
to
you
talk to the horse,
that?
You have to talk to the
Brandon, if you know, life is being made difficult, whether it's the planners or the lack of services, I mean, everyone needs an electricity supply. That seems to be everywhere in the country.
We have it in our villages. We have the electricity, we have the water, and we have the capabilities to deal with the sewer. This does, and they're pushing us out where these facilities already exist, and they're rooting up green fields around Dingle where cattle are roaming right now, and they have to bring the facilities there because they don't exist there. We have the facilities. They have to make a difference between tourism and local Kerry people. Is it Kerry County Council?
Okay, so Brandon, just explain to me, how do we get from the 14 who are there now up to, say, a critical mass of 100, say? You know, how do you do that? How do you lure people, people who don't maybe have ownership of those properties which are derelict? How do you do it? What's the mechanism?
In Tauchi na Tuahe, our plan is that in the village of Parish of Moore, there's about 12 villages there. At the foot of Mount Brandon, there's about 9 or 10 parishes in West Kerry. So you talk about, if you drive around, a 7-mile radius. Now, if they were recognised as... and giving the same rights that estates are given. There were three houses built in that village in the 60s, and then Kerry County Council brought out this rule that you had to have a quarter of an acre and then a half an acre, thus resulting in ribbon development because people had to build along the road. If they gave us the same rules that we could build at the same proximity to each other, that would go a long ways.
But sure, any of us who've seen a famine village, Brandon, will know that the houses were clustered. You know, when you go to the derelict famine villages, be it in Connemara or in Kerry, you can see they weren't a half an acre apart.
No,
they were clustered together.
And so they're breaking tradition. And, I mean, the proximity of the houses in estates. I have to have a half an acre to build a house. Why? If they could go inside in Dingle, they built 15 houses in 1 acre. If we got those, if we were allowed to give our, if our traditional rights to build in our villages were returned to us, that would go a long ways. I have 4 children and they can't live in this village. If those laws were changed, then I have enough room for them to build clustered houses.
Councillor, you know, you're not here representing the council, but you can take Brandon's point. There does seem to be a logic. If enough people want to live in close proximity in the hinterland, you know, the broadband, the electricity, the water, and ultimately, I mean, I don't know about sewage. If you've got a small plot, maybe you can't fit a septic tank on that plot. So that might be an issue. But what is the problem with the vision that Brandon has?
Look, I think it's essential. People are, you know, living in rural Ireland. You want to see lights on in the countryside. You know, it's in West Kerry or here in South Kerry. It's essential that, you know, people get planning in the area they grew up in. Or, as I say, our county development plan is being formulated. We need to ensure that there's clauses in there to cater for people like that. There needs to be some bit of flexibility. Obviously enough, you mentioned air, water and the infrastructure. Infrastructure is key in areas, and if that's there, it makes it somewhat easier. But there's, you know...
But, I mean, is there a case for the council identifying people who might need homes and the council building in situations where there has already been building and build it sensitively and so on? Select your tenants carefully. If it's a Gaeltacht area, they must be fluent Irish speakers and so on and so forth. Is there a case for the council, even on a pilot basis, taking up Brendan's idea and saying, will this work? Will we reverse the trend of the abandonment of the hinterland?
Yeah, look, it's certainly worth a try. I think you made a lot of valid points there. It might be difficult with EU regulations, etc., and wastewater directives and stuff like that. You know, in terms of the sewerage and the...
Well,
a well-planned
and designed sewage treatment, or even, you know, they've got reed bed technologies and all these kind of things might resolve that. What do you say, Brandon, to the councillor about the art of the possible and maybe even a pilot scheme that would demonstrate or otherwise the validity of what you're proposing?
I'm honestly thrown in the towel on the local county councils. If you want to talk to the horse, you go to the horse's head. So we have to go to Dáil Éireann and to Brussels because they're only carrying out the rules that are coming from above. They stay quiet while you're talking to them and they wait till you're finished, and they go on then and do their own thing. It's a waste of time dealing with Kerry County Council planners or with Kerry County Council, has been my experience. And I've had the same message from the four Gaeltachts that we visited, Guíodh, Connemara, Unrein, and Moose Cree. There's a total disconnect between what the people on the ground, our heritage, our language, our Hiberno English, it's in danger here. All the Gaeltachts that we spoke to, people in the Gaeltachts, they're giving themselves 20 years and the Irish language is gone. We have a government who are obliged to stand up for our first language, or is it our second language? I don't care which is first or second at this stage. But they're spending millions on the Irish language and they're killing it on the other end. I think
they're killing it at source.
They're killing it at source, where in my village, the Irish language has been the main language there for hundreds and thousands of years. I, being the second oldest man in that village, and the youngest is in their 30s, and I have four children, fluent speakers, my brother Seamus the same thing, fluent speakers and accomplished musicians, and they're not allowed to live in the villages that we inherited from our forefathers due to these nonsensical rules. And we put down, there was a sewage plant put down on our house in the middle 60s. It is still there. There's absolutely no pollution from it.
Okay. Last question to you, Brandon, is really from a texter who says, how many people really want to build homes in the Gaeltacht area because it's a dead language? What would you say finally to that person?
Say that again, Pat.
Who wants to build in the Gaeltacht area? It's a dead language. That's what the texter says.
I don't care where that person wants to live. I want to live at home.
Okay. So it's you don't care whether they build in Timbuktu or in Tala.
So long as I am able to live at home and beside my family.
Yeah, and you, Pat.
Can I just say, look, I suppose I think there should be more emphasis as well on oral Irish. I think at a national school level, secondary school
level. That's how we learnt the language we speak as children. And by just, listening
and just
and
on
learning.
The planning thing, over, you know, there, I know a lot of difficulties, but over 70% of plannings are granted in rural areas in Kerry. Yeah.
We will leave it on that note. My thanks to former Kerry Mayor and local auctioneer Patrick Conor Scartine and musician, campaigner and founder of Tauchi Natuja, Brandon O'Bioglíoch.